চক্ষুরুন্মীলিতং যে তস্মৈ শ্রীগুরবে বঞ্ছাকল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুভ্যৈব চ পতিতানাম পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমো মহাবদন্নায় কৃষ্ণ প্রেম প্রদায়তে কৃষ্ণায় কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য নাম্নে গৌরদ্বিষে গুরবে গৌরচন্দ্রায় রাধিকায় তদালয়ে কৃষ্ণায় কৃষ্ণ ভক্তায় তদ্ভক্তায় নমো ইয়ং প্রব্রজন্তমনুপেতমপেতকৃত্যম দ্বৈপায়নো বিরহ কাতরয়া জুহাব পুত্রেতি তন্ময়তয়া কর্মভিনেদো তং সর্বভূতহৃদয়ম্। My heartly blessing, my heartly dandavat pranam to my paramaradha nitya lila pravishtam Vishnu Parsi Sanmati Pratyanke Savasam and sent to the lotus feet of my Siksha Guru nitya lila pravishtam Vishnu Parsi Sanmati Vedanta Swami. We were explaining the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami is explaining and Parikshit Maharaj is here. We explained about Bharat Charitra. What are main teachings of that? Can you tell Singapore? Can you tell what are the main teachings of Bharat Maharaj? Very hard. But you will have to know for patience. One thing I want to mention here that when I am here, all are very inspired. Nagar Sankirtan, very good yesterday. Also today, very big and very good festival in the house of
Lalita.
Very good. Here all are coming, so many. All are coming. More than last year. Very good thing. But when I will go, then what will become? All will like die. No, you can come here if you like. Or okay. Very good. And then interested in all these things. This is my not teaching or Bhagavad teaching. I think that it will be better that how you are now is inspired. When I will go, you should more be inspired. When I will hear that, they are very inspired, they are making my programs of very good way. When I will hear from devotee, then I will be very happy. Krishna will be happy. Don't be doomed that time. Don't doom. As you are coming, tentatum here to your houses, another houses in a common place, you should try to meet. This is my request. Don't struggle.
Quarrel.
Don't quarrel. It may be some different opinion of different person. No harm. But to please Krishna and Guru, Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, oh, you should tolerate something. And assemble time to time and discuss Harikatha and Kirtan, sometimes Navasankirtan, also distributing books. Don't think that Navasankirtan or the book distribution is a karma. Those who are thinking like that, oh, they are karma. They must be karma. Otherwise, how they can think? So those who are doing to please Krishna and Guru, they will never be karmi. Even they are clearing stool and urine, even their all activities are like meditation, like serving Krishna. You know the life of Narottam Thakur. He used to clear the stool of his Gurudev because he was not initiating him. But by the service he became very happy. Very happy he became. So don't think that this is karma. No, never karma. Pure bhakti it will be. So try to assemble in one group in
once a week.
Kirtan, Nagar Sankirtan, Bhakti distribution also, and other activities. I think that those who are not accepting any part, not giving donation in this
festival.
But I am very happy that they are arranging, that so many devotees are donating for this. Those who have not donated, they should donate something. Surely. Even one
cent.
Ringgit even.
If they are very poor.
Even if they are poor, they should give. What? How much?
1 ringgit.
Half ringgit, no half. 1 ringgit. Even. And this will be what?
For their own benefit.
For their own
benefit.
I become very happy that they are arranging so good way for all devotees, cooking and everything. So we must take in part in all this. And then what become? Will become. Oh, all will be happy. All will be happy. So I want that you should continue these things. And I think that if you are giving Harikatha like this, time to time I will send from India Asam Maharaj, Ban Maharaj, Radhanath, Krishna Bhajan, Ban Maharaj, Tirtha Maharaj, and others also, time to time. And time to time you should assemble and do all these festivals. So that I will hear and I will be very happy. Krishna will be very happy. But don't quarrel. Don't quarrel. Don't boycott. Try to tolerate all these things. And if you are not doing so, then you are not following. So you should try to do all these things. Now, the teachings of Bharat Maharaj. First, when he became of his half age, at the age of 50,000 years, at that time the age was very long, he gave up this world and relatives and everything, position, kingdom, wife and all things, like latrine. You know, if you have Your stomach, it is somewhat
pushed.
Pressure.
And oh, so much pressure that you cannot shake. You cannot sit here. At once you, otherwise, obey back problem will be. So when we will
run to the bathroom.
Bathroom. And now coming, then you are fresh, fit. So he felt like this, giving up. He felt like, oh, now I am okay. And he engaged himself in Krishna consciousness totally. And like a honey,
unbroken stream.
He left them and went to forest. So, we should try to be like that. In your half age, how much half age? 50 years. But nowadays not like that. Some less. From beginning, you should try to do bhajan, chant and remember. Certainly you should do. No. First, you should try to give up your attachment to worldly things. Give up your worldly desires. As he left. One thing more. At the time of death, he was remembering that she dear. And as a result, he became dear. No? So when at the time of death you will remember Krishna and his associates, oh, your body will be transcendental anywhere. Very quickly. And then you will have a very good devotee's body in next life. It is sure. As Bharat Maharaj in his last time thinking about dear and became dear. So why not we? If you are remembering Krishna as his associate, Mahaprabhu and his associates, we will be like them. So like in his second and third, especially in third life, as a Brahmin, he never feared from death, you know. He was brought to Kali for giving sacrifice, but he never feared. He went there gladly, smiling. So you should be like that. Tolerance should be there. Oh, Krishna will save you. So be like Bharat Maharaj. Second, also, in his third life, Asa Sangatya. First and second, both life, being deer or Brahman born. He was always
avoiding bad association.
He never met with any deer or he deer. Never. And his Brahman boy, from beginning, he could not utter Omkar or anything. Always avoided this class of sound. And alone meditating. So you should be like that. And giving up all bad association, what he was doing? In the night, no sleeping, remembering Krishna, remembering all. So you should try to be like that. If you will be, then very quickly you will be perfect. You will be happy in this world and after this world also. Now, Sukadeva Goswami told it, Parikshit Maharaj, A very interesting story of Puranjan. Can you tell something? You should take. Where is mic?
Microphone, please.
Now, can you tell like me five teachings? I told. Try to remember all these things. You also, Singapore, also remember and preach very boldly like me. She can preach.
So we are on the order of Sri Gurudev hearing something about the history of King Puranjana. This is a very interesting history. It starts when Sri Narada Muni meets with King Prachini Parikshit. This king, he came in the dynasty of great devotee kings like Dhruva Maharaj. And from
today,
from this we can see that in previous times the kingdom society was ruled by religious leaders. They were trained to understand what is the science of self-realization, what is the science of spiritual self-realization, who we are and why we have come in this world. First they were educated and trained like that, and then they would rule as kings. Not like nowadays, that leaders of the country, they get no spiritual education. And what will happen when they rule the kingdom or they rule the state? They simply exploit the subjects. They take, by hook or by crook, money, taxes, fill their pockets, especially in this age of Kali, and then when the term is over, they have secured so many material assets for themselves. Oftentimes they are even caught red-handed, and so many scandals we see in the history of politics nowadays. So at that time it was not like that. The kings were properly trained, educated in spiritual science, and only then they took responsibility and they ruled the kingdom, and the subjects were very happy. There was no difficulties for the subjects, the citizens, to practice spiritual life and be happy as well in material life. So this particular king, Prachini
Bodhi,
he was somewhat caught up in performing fruitive activities. Fruitive activities, they are performed by the living entity when he becomes too much influenced by the lower modes of nature, rajas and passion, ignorance, tamas. Then he believes that I should make so many arrangements for my future life, my next life. I am in so much trouble now that I should perform sacrifices, I should perform so many religious so-called activities which will secure that in my next life I will be in a good destination. Not really transcendental activities. So these activities were performed by this particular king, and Narada Muni, he became very compassionate and worried that he should go and visit this king and tell him something about spiritual life. So he approached the king, and he told the king, king was very happy to receive Narada Muni, I want to explain something to you and tell you a story. Now this is very interesting, because most of us, the living entities who are conditioned in this material existence, we have a very hard time to hear the discussion or the glorification of Lord Krishna and his associates directly, the pastimes of Lord Krishna. We'll fall asleep, yeah, because we cannot really understand. Our mind is too busy in material activities. Yeah, this is the situation of most living entities in this world. Always busy, busy, running around to make some arrangement to earn money.
What that king was doing?
The king was performing fruitive activities. Yeah. Especially he was offering animals in sacrifice. And as we know,
he made so much sacrifices for that everywhere on the earth
covered by Kush grass.
It was covered by Kush.
Kush grass.
So that it means that everywhere he did sacrifice. All over this earth he did. So there was no place where he had not. So Narada Rishi saw that his life is ruined. What he is doing? And then he went.
So then Narada Muni, before he started telling the story of King Puranjana, he showed the king, yeah, how all the animals which he had sacrificed in fruitive activities or religious performances, so-called, how all these animals, they were waiting for him in the sky, that after his death they would attack him with their iron horns and pierce him, and he would suffer so much. This is especially the case when anyone is too much absorbed in performing these sacrifices. Although it is mentioned in scripture that when we offer the animal will get human birth in his next life. But if we make one little mistake in pronunciation of the mantras, then failure. And the animal is waiting for us after this life to attack us and to torture us and to take revenge. So Narada Muni showed this to the king. And then the king became very worried. Oh, this is awaiting me. Yeah. So little do we know that by so many activities which we perform, reaction is waiting for us. So Narada Muni, being very merciful and very powerful spiritually, he showed this to the king. And the king became very interested now to do something about his future. What will happen with me? And then Narada Muni told this story. And this particular story is very interesting for those of us who are too much worried what is going on in this world. Yeah. So he told the story about King Puranjana. So this is a beautiful story.
One telling?
Yeah. Described by Sri Narada Muni. Puranjana means the enjoyer.
There was a king. Story. First tell the story.
Okay. There was a King Puranjana. And this King Puranjana, he traveled all over the earth planet. Yeah. And he was looking for a place where he could be happy. He couldn't find any place where he thought he could be happy. Yeah. He was wandering for many, many, many years, searching where I can be happy, where I can enjoy. So finally, he arrived in Bharatavarsha. And there he discovered a beautiful city with 9 gates. And in this city, there were many beautiful parks and lakes and roads and buildings. Very attractive. Decorated with so many rubies, diamonds, beautiful gemstones. And he thought, oh, this is very attractive. Yeah. I should reside here. And I think I can be happy here.
Yeah. A very beautiful place, like palace or city.
So he resided there.
He saw that there are 9 doors in that city. 9 doors.
9 doors or 9 gates were in that city.
And And there he saw a beautiful lady.
Very beautiful. And she was accompanied by 11 bodyguards. Mm. And also by one snake with 5 hoods. Very powerful, very strong. Yeah. And the lady, so beautiful, that the king couldn't take his attention away from that lady. Lady tried to be very shy, and it seemed as if she had no husband. So the king became even more interested to communicate with her. Very soon, he started to speak to her in a flattering voice, and within no time, the lady became very happy, and they decided to reside together in the city and enjoy happiness.
Also, there was a friend.
Yes, an unknown friend. The king was not aware that this friend was there, but this friend always accompanied the king at all times.
And the ladies also, so many shakha and sakhi.
Ladies had so many maidservants, the 11 bodyguards.
Except that. So many friends and so many lady friends.
Maidservants were there. So then King Puranjana started to enjoy with his dear wife.
Wife and others.
And others.
So after some time, he went to hunt.
Went for hunting in the forest. Mm. Actually, he lost some of his intelligence. He left the beautiful.
What?
Hunting hours.
Went for hunting. He left the beautiful palace and the city and went for hunting. Yeah, giving up his chaste wife, religious wife, and he went for hunting. After.
And it became some late.
So many animals he tried to kill and capture, and he became very fatigued, very tired, and very thirsty. So after a long time, he came back to the palace, and he felt somewhat guilty that he had left the palace so suddenly and went for hunting, leaving his dear wife behind.
So wife became?
Morose.
What?
Morose. His wife was not?
Morose, sorry.
Sorry.
He was asking everywhere, where
is? Sulky.
Sulky.
And he did ma, angry.
Where is my wife?
And he took his mouth, what?
Away.
She was away from him.
From him, as he was laying on the floor, not dressed properly. Yeah. And the king.
That the king gave his head and began to
pacify her.
Pacify. But after a long time, she became.
Then he flattered her so much. Yeah. And finally, her sulky mood went away and she became very favorable to him again. She started
again so much attached.
She started to make so many arrangements for him, making very good preparations, making sure that he was always happy. And in this way, he became so much attached to be with his queen, his wife, all the time. So the king became so much attached to this situation that very soon so many children came. Yeah. And after that so many grandchildren. And the king forgot all about what was going on in his life. And
after some time, what became?
After some time, an army started to attack the city. Yeah. 360 soldiers.
Oh.
And
Yaman Raj
started to attack the city with so many soldiers. And king was not able to defend himself properly. Even the 5-hooded snake was very weak and old. Yeah, it couldn't.
Also, a Kal Kanya came and wanted to marry him.
So many came to attack the city, and the king felt very hopeless. He didn't want to marry to one very ugly lady who came and wanted to embrace him.
She was Jara.
Old age.
Her name was Jara. She came and wanted to
embrace the king.
Embrace. But quickly, what became? He began to run away but could not escape. And she embraced. After that, Kal Purush himself came. And then what?
Then the king, he was remembering,
In the meantime, he left his body.
Remembering his queen.
Queen. And next
life, he became lady.
Lady.
As we have heard just before, how King Bharat became dear in his next life, now King Puranchana became lady in his next life, always remembering his queen.
But he was married, she was married to any devotee.
Any very good devotee. Nalai Dvaja. And she always served her husband very faithfully, like a religious wife. Yeah. Always very chaste and assisting her husband in all religious duties. So her husband left for the forest to perform so many spiritual sadhan and activities in order to perfect his spiritual practices. His wife accompanied him to the forest. One day, after doing so many spiritual activities, meditating, remembering King Maladagas, the devotee, he sat and for many days he didn't move anymore. So his devoted wife wanted to massage him and she discovered his body was cold. He didn't respond anymore. He had left. Then she started to lament and cry out, "Help me, help me. I am now bereft. What will become of me? What to do? Where to go? How to go?" And then, what happened? The unknown friend from the beginning of the story appeared and consoled her and told her so many good things about spiritual realization. Then she arranged to make a big fire, place the body of her husband on the fire, and also she herself entered the fire. So what is the...
And by the teachings of his friend, he was liberated. Both were liberated. So what is hidden behind this story? Can you...
What I remember, I can tell.
Yes.
Who can help? Gurudev can
help. I will help you.
Okay.
Go on.
So in the beginning, the king Puranjana. Puranjana means he who is the enjoyer of the...
In this body. That is soul.
The soul.
He is Purush. Jiva Purush.
Who is the unknown friend? He is the super soul, Paramatma, always witnessing within the heart, and also rewarding all the activities, which we are performing, the result of those activities.
If you are going to do anything bad, in heart he will inspire, don't do. And if you will not obey and do, then he will crush by Maya. And more.
Then
what was that very good city, having 9 doors?
Before the city, King Puranjana was traveling everywhere looking for happiness. This is compared to the living entity, traveling in all 8 million, 4 lakh species.
You have gone through.
We have gone through all these species, looking for what? For happiness. And we were never able to find happiness. If we thought we would be happy as a fish, what happened? We were caught on the hook. Yeah. Fish cannot control his tongue, always looking for something to eat. Then he goes to the bait and fisherman picks him up. Yeah. We tried to be happy as an elephant and we were caught by our strong desire to enjoy with the female elephant. So many species we have traveled looking for happiness and we couldn't find it. Then we thought, now I have arrived in a very good place, the city with nine gates, in Bharata Varsha. So this is compared to the human form of life if we take birth in the land of India. The land of India, the living entity has the opportunity to be very happy and successful both materially and spiritually.
What is that Puri?
That city is the human form of life.
This body.
This body.
Human body.
With nine gates, two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth, two ears, one genital and one rectum. Yeah. So through these nine gates, the living entity tries to enjoy.
Sometimes come out and goes there. When at the time of dying, the soul will either come by this eye, or then they will be opened. And when it will go from all, then mouth. It will go in air, through air. And mouth, if it will come out of from mouth, mouth will be opened. And anyhow, these are not bad. But if it is going by lower doors too, then he will go to
Hellish planet.
There. So by this, anyhow, each species, and he comes out of this body and enters in other puri. What is meaning? Sometimes, if you are lucky, then you will come to this body. Otherwise, no certainty. If you will not do bhajan, you will have to go in all species of life. And when you will have human body, no nose.
No guarantee.
And after that,
who is that beautiful lady? Very interesting. This is our intelligence.
Our buddhi.
With our intelligence, we make a pact how to enjoy in this body.
And buddhi is serving us.
Intelligence always looking for plans. Oh, this is good, this is beautiful. Even if it is not tasteful at all, but intelligence will convince us. And we think,
but they will tell, drink and be merry. Eat, drink and
be merry.
Be merry.
What eat?
Dance, drink.
What eat? Eat meat, eggs, and so many pets. And drink. Cheat others and be cheated by others. Who tells?
Intelligence.
Be politician. Be business cheater.
Hypocrisy.
You know, now the president of America,
Bush.
How intelligent. How intelligent. He thinks that we Americans are the master of, ruler of whole
world,
universe. We can conquer even moon and sun, planets and Mangal and also Brihaspati and everywhere we can. But he was himself attacked. Now, buddhi, thinking what to do. This is wife of that Purusha. And?
So this truce or pact which we make with the intelligence is very unfortunate. The living entity is supposed to listen to his best friend, his unknown friend, the super soul, but foolishly he makes the connection with his intelligence life after life. Result is suffering more and more. So this beautiful intelligence is accompanied by 11 soldiers. This is the mind and the 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses. They are part of this body. They cooperate with the intelligence to make so many good arrangements for material happiness.
What Pancha Sakhi?
The 5 hooded snake is the life air, 5 different prans, which is always present within this body. And without that, the body cannot function. Even without food, body may function, but without life air, no way the body can function. This keeps the body intact. always protecting the body. These five life airs.
Which Chandavek?
Chandavek is the
Yamanraj. He attacked that
city with 360 soldiers. Hmm. 720 soldiers.
1 year. One year passing.
360 days and 360 nights.
In this way.
Attacking.
And then Jara. Old age.
Jara is old age. She's very ugly, but nobody can escape her. She will marry all of us if we are lucky.
Once she tried to marry with Narad.
If you don't make it in old age.
And Narad Rishi seeing that, what he did. At once he
ran
away across all this earth and universe, and he crossed Karnodas Samudra.
Cause of ocean.
And then anyhow he was
saved.
He went to Vaikunth. So he was saved. Otherwise, if that old is coming, you cannot save. Very quickly running. The boys now, after some time they may be also old. All will be old. At that time no beauty. These chicks will go inside. Tits. Eyes very
weak.
Everything. And you can walk by his teeth. And after that, Kalpurush will himself come. And who is he?
Yamaraj.
Yamaraj. No, Kal.
Time.
Death.
Death.
No saving at all. And then he will have to give up his body. It has been told for king, for all it has been told. More saying? Okay. How he was liberated? After some time, he went in the body of a female because he was
always thinking.
Overthinking at the time of death, so he became. But anyhow, he was married to a devotee, and that is why he was saved. And a guru came, who unknown person. Who was always falling, Sakshi. And he set them and gave mantra, and thus they were liberated. So if you will follow the last stage of that king, that you will go to any Gurudev high class of, and be initiated, and then chanting and remembering Supreme Lord, then you can be liberated and happy. Then you will be happy. Otherwise, no one can save you. Again and again. Endless chain of birth and death, sorrows and sufferings. This is very interesting story. After that, what? Chitraketu Upakhyan. You? Chitraketu, you should. This is also, but very brief. You can take. Very.
Chaksurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Srila Gurudev has ordered me to speak about Chitraketu Upakhyan, or the history of King Chitraketu. Parikit Maharaj asked his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, who had previously told him the story of a great demon named Vritrasura, who became a pure devotee of the Lord and went back to Godhead. So Parikit Maharaj is asking, how is it that someone who is so sinful, such a big, powerful demon, can become a pure devotee? Even great saints and sages, it's very difficult for them. There are so many innumerable living entities, as many atoms as there are that many living entities. Very rarely somebody comes to the human form of life. Very rarely somebody becomes religious. And very, very rarely somebody becomes a devotee of Lord Narayan. So how is it that this demon became a devotee? So Narada told him, Sukadeva Goswami told him how this happened. In his previous life, Vichrasura was King Chitraketu. He was a very religious king, the king of Surasen. And he had every facility. He was in the prime of youth, extremely beautiful, so wealthy, the king of the entire planet. And he had so many beautiful young wives whose eyes were like lotus petals. How many wives did he have? Sahasresu Sahasrani Dasa. He had 10 million wives, all extremely beautiful and chaste. Everything he had, wealth, opulence, control, everything. But he wasn't happy. As Gurudev has been saying every day, no one can be happy by these things. There's always something missing. So what was missing in the life of King Chitraketu? He had no son. He didn't want a son for the same reason that we do, somebody to play with and put their arms around us. He was a very religious king, pious king, so he wanted a son who, after his own death, would offer shraddha or pinda, offer sacrifice and oblations to himself and his forefathers, so they would be relieved from hellish planets, from their sins, known sins and unknown sins, and that they can go to heaven. So this king was always lamenting.
And also after his death, who will control this big kingdom?
Who would be his successor, his heir to the kingdom? So lamenting and lamenting always. Then one day, the great sage Angira Rishi, who knows everything, internally and externally, of all living beings, he's the son of Brahma, and he's a great devotee, but he's not even a devotee in the line of Rupa Goswami. So if he knows everything, internally and externally, of all living beings, what to speak of devotees like Gurudev in our line of Sri Rupa Goswami? Nothing is unknown to them of any soul in any place in the kingdom of God in the spiritual or material worlds. So Angira Rishi came, and he was such a pious king, King Chitraketu. He offered Angira Rishi a very good chair, and he sat at his feet. And Angira Rishi said, I can tell by your complexion, by your stature, that you're very unhappy. You look so pale and worn. You have everything. You have control over everything. You have such good relationships with the people in your kingdom, with your wives. What's wrong? So King Chitraketu said, I know that you know everything, but still you're asking. So by your order, I'll tell you what's wrong. I have no son to offer any oblations when I die and for my forefathers, and who will be my successor, my heir. So Angira Rishi tried to help him understand that whether you have a son or anything, still you won't be happy. Still there will be a but. For this reason, but for this I'm not happy. But he was so absorbed in the desire to have a son that he couldn't hear any transcendental knowledge. So Angira Rishi didn't tell him anything at that time. So he said, okay, I'll arrange that your wife will have a son. So he put some special power in some sweet rice and performed a great sacrifice. And he said, give this sweet rice to your best and first queen. That was Queen Krita Dyuti. So she took this sweet rice, and very soon after that, she bore a son. So King Chitraketu was so overwhelmed with happiness. And every day, his attachment and happiness grew in relation to his son. And the happiness of his wife also grew. However, there were 10 million people who were not happy. and that was his other queens. Because if somebody has co-wives, and one wife has a child, he'll become more and more attached to that wife, and he'll start neglecting the other wives. So they felt, we're worse off than maidservants, because at least maidservants get attention and affection. But we're neglected. We're like the maidservants of the maidservants. What should we do? This is terrible. So their envy and lamentation and anger grew constantly to the point where they had a conference and decided there's only one thing we can do. We have to poison that child. So they administered some poison, and very soon the child died, turned black and died. So the mother, Kritadyuti, she was very intelligent. She saw that her child was deeply sleeping, it appeared. So she said to her maid, oh, please bring my son. So the maidservant tried to awaken the son, but his eyes were up in the air, as Gurudev said. Sometimes the eyes are way up.
And black.
Yes. Black. And so she felt him, and she could understand that he was dead. So this queen started wailing. Her hair became disheveled, her sari started falling off, and she fainted and became unconscious. And then the king came. He also became so upset, he began running to his son. But as he was running, he started slipping and falling and becoming unconscious, then getting up again and then falling down again. His life was completely ruined now. Then all of the inhabitants of his whole kingdom began crying in vicarious experience to the king and queen. And then those 10 million wives, they were pretentiously crying so that it looked like a good show. So the king was ready to die, totally beside himself. At that time, and he was begging his son, please come back to life. You're ruining my life. I'm so miserable. How could you leave at this untimely hour? Please come back to us. You have to perform pinda. You have to be my successor. But the son wasn't coming back. So then, Angira Muni, and along with Narada Muni, you all know Narada Muni, who flies around all universes, spiritual and material, playing his veena and chanting Hare Krishna. And they were very good friends. Both, they were brothers also, the sons of Brahma. So they both came to King Chitraketu. And Chitraketu now, he asked him, how I can see that there's no happiness. Please give me some way, some knowledge that I can be happy. So Angira Rishi explained to him that actually I wanted to give you that transcendental knowledge of the difference between the soul and the and this body. I wanted to teach you that there's no connection with the soul and the body. So there can be no happiness. Just like if somebody puts food in a pocket, you can't get the satisfaction of eating. So this body is just like clothes. But because you were so absorbed in having a son, I performed an operation. I myself became that son. And I warned you before that this son would be the cause of harsh and soap, the cause of happiness and distress. You thought, all right, he'll just be a little naughty, so he'll be the cause of distress. And he'll give me so much happiness. But he gave you so much distress, unbearable. So I was performing an operation on you, as Guru often does, so that you become qualified to hear these teachings. Then Narada spoke to the boy and asked the boy to come back into his body. So the boy came back into his body by the power of Guru. Guru has so much power. And then he said, I am the living entity. I've been wandering through 8,400,000 species of life. Sometimes as a crocodile, sometimes as a tree, an insect, sometimes as a human, sometimes as a demigod. I've had millions and billions of fathers. How can I say these are my mother and these are my father? And maybe sometimes I was their mother and their father. Why should I stop here? Narada asked, do you want to come back? He said, this place is very ungood for my bhajan. They're so attached and they want to engage me in material life, in opulence and running a kingdom. I want to do bhajan. Now I'm going to a place where I can do nice bhajan. Then Narada said to the king, do you want him to come back? The king said, no, let him go where he'll be happy. So then Narada said, I'm going to give you a mantra. And by this mantra, like initiation, mantra is so powerful when it's given by a pure devotee. So this mantra, if you chant it just for 7 days, then you'll see the Supreme Lord face to face. And this mantra was a glorification of Lord Narayan, of his Chaturvyuha form, of his the fact that he's Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, that everything is within him, he's the cause of all causes and all that is, he's the friend of all living entities. So because King Chitaketu didn't make any offenses in chanting, he left everything and he became fully absorbed in chanting. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, nothing. He was fully absorbed in that mantra. And because he followed the instructions of his guru, he went to Vaikuntha and saw Lord Sankarshan just after 7 days. And he became a pure devotee. So in this way, he realized perfection by following the instructions of his guru.
Very good. Here the instruction is that, in this world, anyone is not happy. Something must like it. This world is made, this human body is made, from what? Something like it. So don't worry for all these things. You cannot be happy even by son, by daughter. I know there are some persons and ladies that they have no son. Very good. It is the mercy of Krishna. That no attachment is there. But if there are son and daughters, and don't be attached. You should see that they are the
servant of Krishna.
And you should nourish and support them. And if no son, daughters, are very good then. If wife is also not, are very, very good. If husband is not, and he has become somewhat
opposite.
Opposite, against, very good. A Krishna. Do bhajan. By bhajan, you can be happy. Don't be attached in any way. Like Chitraketu Maharaj. And as he was initiated by Anjira and Narad, you should also try to be initiated by a likewise high class of devotees. We don't know when and how we will die. In a moment we can die. You are going anywhere and in a plan and at a time 360%. Athwa ke came, so many thousands and thousands of persons in Gujarat.
In India, Gujarat.
All were smashed today. So, worry for this. Death is essential. So before that, we should chant and remember and be liberated. These things. Parikshit Maharaj became very happy. He asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami. You have told that Supreme Lord has no partiality to anyone. He is equal to all. But I cannot
reconcile.
In Kauravapanda big battle, world war, Krishna took the side of Pandavas. Though he was not fighting, but he was giving intelligence to Arjuna to kill Kauravas. He helped so much. Also, he killed Hiranyaksha. and others, Raman, always he takes the side of demigods. He never takes the side of demons. So I think he is partial. Oh, you are my guru, you can remove my doubt. And then he began to tell the history of Prahlad Maharaj. You should begin, come. Oh, anyone should not sleep and see it like that. Those who are old, very old, oh, they can give their
shelter
like this. Oh, old person, like, oh, 4 or 5 are very old persons here. Or they can take the help of wars. Like old. Don't take and be straight. Don't. Oh, jai jai. Radha Ramana Hari Bo.
Jai jai Radha Ramana. Back with Lord Raha, he was slain. So his brother, Hiranyakashipu, he became so angry. He became venomous. And he thought, I must avenge the death of my brother Hiranyaksha. That this Lord Vishnu, that he's always hiding. He's hiding within the hearts of different living entities. But I will find him and I will slay him. So then he decided to perform very severe austerities. He went to the Mandara Hill. And there, standing on his toes, with his hands extended up in the air, he performed austerities for 60,000 years. He performed austerities for so long that an anthill covered his body, and his body became eaten by the ants, that his life air was just living in the bones. There was no more flesh, no blood, only bones. And his life was just sustaining, just in the bones. But he had so much determination that he wanted to get the mercy of Lord Brahma. By this austerity, finally Lord Brahma, he appeared on the scene. And with his water pot, he sprinkled from his kamandalu some water on Hiranyakashipu. And immediately, Hiranyakashipu's body, it became rejuvenated. Much more than before. Very, very young, youthful, very handsome, and very powerful. Hiranyakashipu, now having the darshan of Lord Brahma, he offered his obeisances with tears in his eyes. Lord Brahma, he asked, what is it that you want? Hiranyakashipu, he appealed to the Lord that he wanted immortality. But Lord Brahma explained that, I myself, I am not immortal. We know that Lord Brahma, his one day is 4,300,000,000 years. And his one night is simply 4,300,000,000 years. His lifetime of 100 years, immense. Trillions of years. But he said, still, I have to die. So I cannot give you immortality. So then Hiranyakashipu, very, very cunning. So then he thought, well, if I cannot have immortality, then I want the benediction that I will not die in the day or in the night. Please grant me the benediction that I will not die in the air, in the sea, or on land. Please grant me the benediction that I will not die by any human or any animal or demigod. Please grant me the benediction that I will not die in any year or any month. And grant me the benediction that I will not die inside or outside. And in this way, he asked for so many benedictions that grant me the benediction that I will not be killed by any weapon. So he tried to cover all different avenues so that he would have this immortality. So Lord Brahma, he granted Tatashtu. So be it. So then now, Hiranyakashipu, with his demoniac assistants, they went and they started to create such a havoc on the earth. Wherever Brahminical culture was practiced, they plundered, and they just made all kinds of havoc. So after Hiranyakashipu, he had done his austerities, then he was with his wife Kayadu, and he had a son. His son was 5 years old. His name was Prahlad. So he had sent his son to school, to the school of two teachers, Sanda and Amaka. Sanda means bull, and Amaka means darkness. So these two teachers, they represent the teachers of this material world. That in this material world, when one goes to a materialistic school, where there is no training of spiritual culture, then one is trained to be expert in economic development, in sense gratification, to be expert at manipulating the different material elements. But there's no training as to the nature of the soul. Who am I? What is the purpose of my life? What happens after death? But rather, one is trained to be more and more expert in this dark material world. So this type of education is called a slaughterhouse. Why? Because when one is trained to be expert in sense gratification, then only one will increase one's karmic situation, and ultimately one will be slaughtered by the reactions of material energy. So it looks like if we're getting so much advancement that we're going to school, to college, to university, to achieve happiness, but by increasing karma and not understanding the science of the soul, then it is a slaughterhouse. And the other teacher, Amaka, Sanda and Amaka. Sanda stands for bull. That we go to school, and the teachers, they'll teach us so many things, but they may be addicted to smoking cigarettes. They may be addicted to alcohol. They may be addicted to intoxication and illicit sex. So what kind of values can they actually impart unto the students? So this is like a bull-like mentality. One who's attached to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They're like bulls. So to this kind of school, Hiranyakashipu, he sent his son, Prahlad. And we should see that if in our schools the children are not getting proper spiritual enlightenment and spiritual education, then it is the same fate. So after some time, Hiranyakashipu, he asked his wife Kayadu to bring his son Prahlad. And the mother bringing the son, after dressing him very nicely, Hiranyakashipu, he put his son on his lap, and very lovingly caressing his son, smelling his hair, and asking, "Oh Prahlad, now that you've been studying in the school of Sanda and Amaka, I want to know, what is the best thing that you have learned in this school?" Then Prahlad, very peacefully, he looked at his father and he said, "Tat sadhu manye asuravaya deinam sada samudvignan diyamasat grahat hitva atma patam griham andakupam vanam gatoyet darimashaita." He said, "Oh father, tat sadhu manye asuravaya deinam." He said, "Oh father, you who are the king of the demons, the best of the demons." His father became very happy. Yes, he knows that I'm best at sense enjoyment, at sense gratification. He said, "The best thing I've learned is tasadu mane asuravaya dehinam sadasa mudvigna diyama sadgraha." That those who have accepted in life the pursuit to enjoy the material world, to eat, drink, and be merry, to have economic development, to have as comfortable a situation as possible, and to not look towards spiritual life, that such people will always be full of anxieties. Why? Because of identifying with the material body. As long as we identify with this material body, which is bound to grow old, have many diseases, and ultimately die, which is a cause of so much anxiety and lamentation, then we must also be in that situation full of anxiety. So he said, "The best thing I've learned is that one who's taken to this materialistic path of life, they must be full of anxieties. Tasadu mane asuravaya dehinam sadasa mudvigna diyama sagrahat hitva atma patam griham andakupam." He said that such persons, that they will have the chance to to take to spiritual life. They may have the opportunity to come and hear Harikatha, just as now. Srila Gurudev, he's come from, he's traveling all over the world, coming from India at such late age. And how many people in Malaysia are here to hear this Harikatha? They have opportunity. Some know, but rather they may be doing so many other things. Going drinking with the friends, going out some sporting activity, doing so many other things. So Prahlad Maharaj, he said to his father, he said, "Oh father, they're turning away from this and they're going into a blind well." That one who goes to the path of sense gratification is going into a blind well. So now Gurudev, he gives an example in this respect. That once, in the forest, there was a boy who was going and he was looking for some firewood. And as he was walking through the forest, then behind him came a lion. And as the lion started chasing him and growling, immediately this boy became so afraid. He started to shake and he ran. Running, he came to this well. Then he jumped down in this blind well and holding on to two branches which were growing from either side of the wall of the well. In the meantime, the lion had come right over him. And how's it? He was looking up and he was looking into the jaws of death. He was seeing death personified right in front of him. He became so afraid. He looked down and then there was a cobra just uncoiling and hissing and ready to bite. Scorpions were climbing up the wall of the well, ready to sting him. He was sweating. Holding on to the branch, then he saw on the left branch there was a black rat. On the right branch there was a white rat. And they were eating away at the branches. And it was starting to... In this situation, very precarious situation, he was so afraid. He was thinking, "Oh, I have no way out. If I go up, death. If I go down, so many problems will come. And in the meantime, the branches are being broken. What to do?" In this situation, he was sweating. His hands were slipping. Then, on top of a tree, which was hanging over the well, there was a beehive. And that beehive had some very, very sweet honey. The beehive, by the weight of the honey, tilted over. And then the honey just started to drop. And very beautiful, golden, translucent drops. First drop just went by his nose and went down. And then by the time the second drop came, he just stuck out his tongue. And then it hit his tongue. And then he ruminated in his throat. And it was so sweet that all of a sudden, he completely forgot his situation. And then he stuck out his tongue again and took another drop and another drop and another drop. And
telling, what telling? Oh, so sweet.
And he said, "Oh, how sweet it is." He wanted to rub his belly, but he could not, because if he rubbed, he would fall down. So in this situation, he was so much in illusion. So this is,
he will die.
So this is our situation. That we're in a very precarious situation in life. That at any moment, we may die. Just as Gurudev explained, in Gujarat, there was a big earthquake. What to speak of an earthquake? We may go out there and we may, anything can happen, and like that we may just leave our body. But we're thinking, I have 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years in which to enjoy or in which to get my Krishna consciousness together. We may think, yes, let me have go through my family life, go through these different things, and in due course I'll take. But the teaching is now, labhasu dulabam, idam bahu sambhavante. Now we should take advantage. Because we don't know. At any moment, we can leave our body. So this lion, which was growling over the jaws of death, is signifying that death can come at any moment for any one of us. It is not guaranteed how long. And the snake that was hissing represents the many problems in this material world. There's so many miseries that, especially now, in the modern age, we have so many facilities computer age, so many facilities for enjoyment. But we see that, especially in cities, there's so much stress, so much anxiety, so many mental problems. The situation is so bad in the West that somebody who actually needs to be in the mental home, he will not go in the mental home because they don't have any more room. So they keep him outside and they give them medication. Misery is coming from the mind, from the body. So many facilities are here, but we have here a doctor. And though there's so much advancement in medical profession, still they cannot solve all these problems, these physical problems. Also, many people, they may give us problems. That we may work hard, accumulate so much wealth, but so many people were envious of our situation. And due to this envy, they may try and cheat us or speak so many bad things about us. This is the nature of this material world. And up top, the two branches, they represent our lifespan. The black rat represents night. The white rat represents day. From the minute that we're born, from the second we're born, we have a certain amount of seconds by which we're to live in this world. It is foretold. And every second that ticks away, we're coming closer to our eventual death. So, through all of this situation, very, very precarious situation, where enemies are there in the form of envy, death is there, it can happen at any time, so many miseries, but we become bewildered by the illusory energy in the form of honey. What is this honey? This honey is, one is working very hard. He comes home at night, after a very hard day's work. Maybe he's gotten up 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, driven hundreds of miles to get to work, having to deal with so many people who are giving so many problems, and now completely tired, fatigued. And then the little baby comes on his lap and says, "Oh, Daddy," and gives him a big kiss. And then immediately, this is like the honey. And then the broken language of the child speaking and speaking. And then he forgets all the miseries that he has had to go through. He forgets the fact that death can come at any moment. He forgets the fact that his lifespan is ticking away. And now he just spends night, hour after hour with his baby. Then he gets up at 2 o'clock because the baby crying. And then he has to get up. His sleep is broken, but he does not care, because then he picks up his baby, "Oh, how are you?" And then taking care of the baby, changing the baby, going through all this, serving the baby, but this is the sweet honey. For this, one becomes so engrossed, taking pictures. "Oh, my baby was 6 months old here. And now little baby was 9 months old here. And now 1 year old." And becomes so engrossed in this sweet honey. But actually, by this honey, that one's love and affection for Krishna, it becomes diverted. And that energy, which is supposed to go one pointed towards the Supreme Lord, it now becomes played more and more and more. And in this way, life is ticking away and one forgets ultimate goal. When Prahlad Maharaj, he told this to Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu became so angry, his eyes became red. He said, "What is this boy saying?" Immediately, he took him to the teachers, Sanda and Marco. He said, "Oh, you take care of this boy. There's some Vaishnavas who are coming in disguise. Be very careful. Don't let them contaminate him with this Vaishnav philosophy." So Sanda and Marco, they took Prahlad.
And today is so late. Oh, after this, a very interesting thing. Or tomorrow, from 6. In evening, 6 p.m. will again start, and after one day more, only 2 days are remaining. I'm very happy that anyhow so many devotees now are assembled here. Yesterday, tomorrow also you may come, but tomorrow is working day, so it may be that you cannot come. But I think you will gain more what you gain in your job and works. Here, if you are hearing these things, and then made it, you can make it aim and object of life. And what is that? To be happy forever by chanting and benefit. So tomorrow we will explain all these things. Day after, I wanted to speak or explain whole Srimad Bhagavat, morning, evening. But in morning, they have so much job, they cannot come. So I could not do. But after Prahlad Maharaj and after Ambarish Maharaj, I will try to give something for 10th canto, Krishna pastime. But perhaps I can could. Then I will begin from the pastimes of Krishna from beginning. And you will learn so many things. So many. I will send so many devotees from India. And they will come. And you should invite all to come and they should hear and they should be heard. Go, Premanand.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, today some devotee has taken initiation. Now Gurudev will announce your spiritual name. And when Gurudev will ask you to stand up, you will stand up and Gurudev will give you bless and announce spiritual name. Just after that, now grand ceremony of Radha Priya. So I am requesting them to be ready for grand ceremony.
Who is she, Radha Priya?
She is
over there.
Oh, the daughter of?
Krishna Priya and Balakrishna Prabhu.
Oh, very.
And they are, maybe their maternal uncle also here. They can come also.
Baby is there.
So all.
And another thing, some devotee has requested again for initiation. So tomorrow initiation will be again 8:30 a.m.
No, no, no. We won't be here. We come back.
No, we will try to come back.
So 8:30 a.m. will be initiation again tomorrow. And day after tomorrow, about 8:30 or 9 a.m. will be fire sacrifice. For whom he has taken initiation, headed by Sipad Pundarik Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Now we will announce your name. Please stand up when we announce your name. Chandra Lekha.
Oh.
Chandra Lekha. Chandra Lekha. Chandra Lekha.
Oh, who is she?
Daughter of Chandra.
Very good. Chandralekha Devi ki. Thank you. Oh, you can see. I have kept your name Chandralekha. No?
Aravindra.
Oh, very good. Your name?
Aravind.
Aravinda Das. Friend of Krishna.
Raghunath. Thus, please stand up. Receiving Diksha today.
Good name. Raghunath Das Prabhu ki.
Rasa Lakshmi Dasi. Receiving
Diksha
today. Rasa Lakshmi.
Rasa Lakshmi. Rasa Lakshmi. Oh, Rasa Lakshmi is good name. Same name. Rasa Lakshmi ki.
Gayatri Dasi. Also receiving Diksha today.
Very good. Gayatri Devi, or name of Radhika is Gayatri. Radhika Gayatri Devi ki.
Yeah. Gopali Dasi receiving Diksha.
Oh, Gopali. Today. Gopali is Krishna. Gopali is Radhika. So Radhika Dasi. Gopali Dasi ki.
Yeah.
Is Nandan. And Nandini is the name of Radhika. So Nandini Dasi ki.
Janardhan Das.
Oh, Janardhan, Krishna himself. Janardhan Prabhu ki.
Kok.
Kok Achai.
Kok Achai. Kalachan.
Very good. Kalachan
Das.
Kala Chand, one of the name of Krishna. Kal Chand, Chandmani Moon.
Kala
like
black. Oh, black cloud.
Like Krishna.
Kala Chand.
Beautiful more than moon. Chand. Oh, he is Kala Chand Das Prabhu ki.
Chira Hong Chai.
Chandrika.
Oh, Chandrika Dashi ki jai. Can you come in? Moon is so beautiful. So the rays of moon light. Oh, Srimati Radhika. So Chandrika is one of the Dashi, maid servant of Radhika. Shakhi of Radhika, friends of
Kamini Dashi.
Oh, very good name, Kamini. Kamini Dashi.
Basini. Basini.
Subhashini.
Oh, Subhashini. Subhashini. Subhashini like. Oh, one of the name of gopis. Subhashini. Subhashini ki.
Sri Prasam.
What name?
Premananda
Prabhu.
Shri Brinda.
Shri Brinda.
Oh, good name. Shri Brinda Devi.
Jin Chi
Kit.
Oh, very good. What?
Yasomati Nanda.
Oh, Yasomati Nanda. Yasomati Nanda, you know, this song? Yasomati Nanda Brajavar. Oh, Yasomati Nanda. Name of Krishna. Yasomati Nanda Prabhu ki.
Ajapan.
Ayappan
Nair. Ajapan.
Ayappan.
Ayappan Nair.
Anantadas.
Anantadas Prabhu ki.
Santa Kumari.
Santa Devi.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Santa Devi.
Santa Kumari.
Santa Kumari, Santa Devi.
Santa Devi. Santa Kumari is okay.
Santa Kumari, okay.
Bhavishyam Ajapan.
Oh, very good. Na?
Hari Mohan.
Oh, Hari Mohan Prabhu ki jai. Hari Mohan Prabhu ki jai.
Kashini.
Kalindi Devi ki jai. Kalindi.
Maxim.
Murari Mohan.
Oh, Murari Mohan, Krishna name. Murari Mohan Prabhu ki jai. Good name? Murari Mohan? Oh, very good.
Mohana Sundara.
Oh, Mohan.
Mohan,
good name.
Mohandas.
Mohandas Prabhu ki. Mohan is the name of Krishna because he attracts all, and that is why he is called Mohan.
Adi Lakshmi.
Adi Lakshmi.
Adi Lakshmi Dasi.
Adi Lakshmi. Adi Lakshmi Dasi ki. Adi Lakshmi is called Radhika.
Charu Chandrika.
Oh, Charichandrika.
Madhavi.
Oh, where is Charichandrika? Where?
Stand up.
Madhavi.
Oh, he has gone to make a drama.
Madhavi.
Very good. And then?
Annaprasam.
Oh, bring.
My name is Madhavi.
Grandmother of Radha Priya. Mother.
Thus ends the class on the 10th of March. 2002 in the evening in Kuala Lumpur, Singapore. Hare Krishna.